Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you ready to celebrate? Hallelujah. Are you ready to celebrate? You know, some people don't even know how to celebrate. But now God is going to give you a reason to celebrate. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Now, before you sit down, let me tell you something. It's exactly 7 years since we started Watchman Fellowship. Glory to God. How many years?
Seven.
Now we are entering the second 7 years, eh? And there will be 7 years. Some of you think the rapture is coming. There will be 7 years. Eh? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
By the way, this is the last day of the first half of the year. Eh? And now the Lord told me, now we are entering celebration. Eh? Like real, real celebration. Real celebration. Glory to God. We are entering real celebration. Praise the Lord. Because you know, last week when I was here and told me Holy Communion service, so I went and said, what's the Holy Communion about? Then he told me celebration. Glory to God. Now, here, some people are still fasting. You finish your fast. Eh? First finish your fast. Then you, because the celebration, in any case, is going to be prolonged. Eh? So first finish your fast, then you come and join us. Eh? Glory to God. Now those of us who are not fasting, we are entering celebration. And you know, you have to do something you've never done before. I mean, celebrate. Okay. Yeah? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Now you tell the Lord, there is no celebration without money. Yeah? So if you want me to celebrate, Lord, first bring a bigendenako. So that way I celebrate properly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, 5 years ago, in 2018, on November 2nd, you remember what happened? Yeah? The great prophet came and visited the watchman. You remember what he said about me? He spoke by the word of prophecy that God is going to send me dreamers.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And he said that even people whose dreams had faded and they had given up, they will come here and the dreams will be revived.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And then he also said he's going to expand the tents of this place.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. But now I want to tell you that you are supposed to be a big-time dreamer. Glory to God.
Amen.
You cannot be here unless you're a big-time dreamer. Because that was the description of the people. And remember the Joseph generation? What is the one thing that distinguished Joseph? His dreams, eh? And not just dreams of dream and dream interpretation. His dreams of greatness when he's just one son out of 12 of Jacob, and he's having all these dreams of greatness. So that's what distinguished him. And now, we're talking about dreamers here, people who perceive and who are able to take on things which are beyond them. Now, it would be an absolute waste if you do not have something which you're dreaming of, which is bigger than yourself, which is bigger than your comfort, which is bigger than just making your life good. Praise the Lord. Something which encompasses other people. Glory to God. That's why you're here, by the way. And it's 5 years now. And now, by the way, I was also saying that now is the time when people's dreams are revived. Now, and the celebration is also about that. You know, like, you know that you cannot and you dare not live a life that is just about yourself. Like you cannot, praise the Lord. I remember when I was still a bit younger, when I moved out of this continent for the first time, then I went to America. And then I was there. Then I saw some people and how they did their lives and so on. There was somebody I went with who said that because I'd had some impact in them going, she told me that she wants to stay there and have a life there. And I told her that, listen, we came here as a group, so you're going to go back to Uganda. Since your visa is still valid, you can come back if you want to, but I don't want to go with people who stay here. So she did that, and she went. And there were, you know, some other guys now, they are there, you know. Then I came back, and, you know, I was like really had an ordinary life because I would, in the evening, there's some place I would go and play football with some guys, you know, some guys, Kucharo. And they had seen me covering, you know, events. First of all, I was covering some games from Manchester. Then, you know, then the next thing I've been covering something in America. Then one of them told me that, and now these are people whom I could relate with at the time. One of them told me, you know, you're strong. I cannot go to those countries and I come back here. And then I listened to him and I thought about it. I said, what I saw there is no way in my life that I can reduce myself to just going there and earning a living and being there, regardless of how good the living is. Even if I was going to become, by the way, and now that's the thing about the calling of God, is that you cannot settle for the things which other people settle for. Like, so now I go, reach there, okay, go and get a job, start with minimum wage, God knows where I end up. But then, like, I cannot, it was never like, I was, and now I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about that time when I was earning a salary of, I think, about 500,000 and so on. Like, there was absolutely nothing that you're coming back to. But there's something inside you, that a witness inside you, that you are not meant to be like just another person. You see, you cannot have dreams which just cover you and your family. And there's no way you can be here at Watchman and you have dreams which cover you and your family. If you actually thought that, then you have to go and style up, because you're completely misplaced. And I'm talking even about those who have come here the first time, even the students. Like, there is no coincidence in the fact that you're here. And here, you have to have dreams which are bigger than yourself. Praise the Lord. And you see, the principle of dream is this. If my dream is bigger than yours, you'll end up working for me. That is a matter of course. That's how it is set in the spirit. The people with the bigger dreams swallow up those with small dreams. Amen? So do not be swallowed up by people whom you're supposed to be swallowing. Because for you, say, my dream is to have a nice house at the lakeside and what? And that is just you. And there is nobody else involved in your dream. Like, it's not bigger than you. Now imagine, then you come to a place where the word of prophecy said that dreamers, the Joseph generation, and then you come and then you're thinking about yourself. Yet, there is an ability within yourself to actually gather a whole lot of people. Now, like, imagine I stayed there in those places. Okay, the thought could not even cross my mind. Because I remember the first thing that crossed my mind, the first thing I saw is how those people live their lives. And I'm like, I can't live my life like this. Not that it's bad, it was actually good. But you see that somebody is reduced. They don't have any purpose beyond earning a living. What? Like, there's, if you tell them what's your purpose in life, they even look at you with gazing eyes. What do you mean purpose? I want my wages to be increased. I want to be able to do this. I want to finish my mortgage and what? And then after that, after life, life is good. Imagine you walk through this earth like that and then you die and you had the house. Like, I mean, okay, I'm trying to transfer to you how I think. Like, that would be the most miserable life. So what did you do on earth? No, I lived a good life. That's it. Did you influence people? Because see, we are living in an era of influencers. Now people come and say that I'm an influencer. And you know, there are people who are, and they even paid money to be influencers. And some of them are influencers in very stupid things. Now for you, you just want to influence your pockets. Now that's sad. Amen? I hope I'm transmitting it to you the way I feel it. There has to be something bigger. Like, I'm called into this. I'm supposed to change this. I'm supposed to, you know. So that, you know what Paul says in the scripture? Paul says that you are my boast. on that day, talking about the people whom he had preached to the gospel. He said, on that day, you are my boast. So when I stand there before the Lord, like I'm presenting myself, I say the Corinthians, the, you know, Ephesians, all those churches which he what? Which he established. Then he says, you are my boast in the Lord. Now, we have to have the mindset of, what is your boast in the Lord? I had a house, I had a car. The person who is saying that, I don't think even had a house. Because even at the end of his life, in Rome, it says he went and was living in a rented house and preaching the gospel out of the rented house. And that was towards the end of his life. You know that scripture in Acts chapter 28. So, but for him, he's not looking at that. For him, he's saying, of course, we're also in the time of ownership. But my point is, but for him, he's saying that when they ask him, what is your boast? I say, you guys are my boast. That's why it says that who of you stumbles and I don't burn him with indignation. Because you see, you're looking at, this is the field that the Lord has given you. And now you're so zealous for them. And that's why he says, I do not cease day and night praying for you, that you may be filled with the will of God, that you may not stumble, that you may do this. And now, because the mindset of an end-time believer, praise the Lord, glory to God. Now, if you are the other type, man, like, how do you even enjoy life? There has to be a pursuit. There has to be a purpose. There has to be something which you're saying that this is my target. This is the one thing. By the way, let me tell you, the one thing I thank the Lord for all the time is purpose. Because without him, there is nothing. Imagine you're earning a salary, a good salary, no matter how good. And then you go in the evening somewhere and do what you enjoy. Maybe go to a steam bath, maybe go to what, and go home. And then again. And then what? And then again. But where is the joy in that? Now for me, I have to be saying that there is something I'm pursuing. And now that is the Joseph generation. Praise the Lord. You know, there is somebody who was who amused me because I said I wanted to go to court and challenge something, that medical law that they put. You know the law, eh? Where you can't talk about vaccination and so on and so forth. Eh? So I said, I want to go to court and challenge it. And I was so passionate about it. Eh? I said that this is the tyranny that we are fighting and what. Then the person waited for me to go. Eh? Then he told somebody else, let Joseph go to court. For me, I'm just going to buy another wonderful car. Eh? Now you see, and for him in his mind, that's wisdom. But if I exchanged my life for his, where I have a wonderful car, and that's it. Like I would be the most miserable person on earth. Because I can't. There has to be something I am. And I'm not just telling you about. I'm telling you this is supposed to be. There has to be something about it. I mean, what are you pursuing? What is now? And then he said that, Mando, that's your problem. I said, okay, it's okay. Let it be my problem. But wisdom, something eventually comes out. You know, eh? When people laugh at you because you're a dreamer, like Joseph and his brother, they end up coming begging you for food. Amen? Then they come begging you for what? Food. Another scripture which amuses me is that when Jacob or Israel died, Joseph's brothers were now shaking, saying, what if this guy turns on us? Because our security was our father. As long as our father was around, we knew Joseph could not harm us. But now he's dead. So they come walking slowly. We pray, forgive us for what we did, you know, and so on. Now, the fate of a dreamer is people eventually end up asking you for bread. Now, everybody here can dream something that is beyond something. It can even be like ownership of, you know, expansion of business and what, where it's not just about yourself. And, you know, and it has a purpose tied to it. It's not just about your comfort. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, because if you don't, beneath that determination, there is an inertia which wants to draw you into just having fun and enjoying your life. And it's right there. Don't think it's far away. You know, the other day we were talking about some president who came on the back of, you know, believer, I'm a Christian, I'm what, and all that. Eh? Recently, he has been in power about 1 year. And then he comes in with all that and, you know, the church supporting him and what. Yeah, my wife is a prayer warrior and you know those things. Eh? But now when you go to there, he actually went to the whole New World Order, World Economic Forum agenda. 311, he went full swing into the agenda. And then now he's not the only born again president who has done that. The guy of Malawi, the same. The guy of Zambia, the same. Got to a point where I even was saying maybe we should stop trusting Barokore. Because actually you find the people who stand firm are people like Magufuli, who was a Catholic. Okay, at the beginning. But for him, he says, no, I'm not going with that thing. Can you imagine all the presidents in the world just decided they are going to deceive everybody? But that one said, no, I have a PhD in chemistry. So he went and used the PCR test. And then you remember what he said. They are testing tomatoes, they have COVID. They are testing donkeys, they have COVID. He said, this is rubbish. He said, now, no lockdowns, nothing. Not a single day of lockdown. Not a single school closed. Nothing. And they killed him. The rest of the people, okay, they are those who go half-half. Eh? But now when you see somebody who is like supposed to be a believer, eh? And then they go full swing. Now they are seated there in a group of World Economic Forum people. Then you say, so it bothered me, by the way, in the course of the night. And so I thought about it. And then I was thinking that, I wasn't even asking, I was just wondering and say, but man, it is sad that actually the people whom you think that now this is the person who should know the agenda, should know about agenda and the kingdom agenda versus the kingdom of darkness agenda. Then they get there and they have absolutely no idea about agenda. Actually, that guy has even exceeded our guy here. At least our guy, you can see, there is a bit of survival, but there are things which he doesn't, eh? Which he goes in polar and polar, eh? But now the other one, see you, Supreme Court passed Bisiaga, see you, what, see you, born again. Then you say, but man, anyway, so I went to sleep on that. Then I woke up in the morning and I was, you know, in between sleep and wakefulness. And I'm there and I'm having a conversation with the Lord. Then he tells me that the reason they do that is because they did not determine beforehand what they are going to do. And I said, what do you mean? Then he told me that there is nothing that is done that is positive without somebody first determining beforehand that I am going to be this, no matter what the cost. You understand? Then he even gave me an example. He told me that there is no marriage which stands unless two people commit that we are going to make it work. Otherwise, there is always an inertia of like, ah, man, I'm tired of you, what? Which is, you understand? Eh? There has to be a commitment. But everything stands on commitment. That, okay, I'm going into this, there might be issues, but commitment. He told me that. Then he also gave me a few other examples of like how people determine that something, this is who I am going to be, and this is what I am going to be, and I'm not going to be shaken. Because you see, it's easy for you outside, or let's say even for me outside, to stand and say that why did he do that? But you see, every time you step into a position, there are pressures of that position which you can never experience until you're there. So you think you're all that, but then you're like this man who says, ah, me, when I become rich, I will not be like Adabagaga. For me, I will be welcoming of people. You first get rich and we see. You see, eh? You know, everybody knows what, you know, what they would do in a situation. If I had this, I would do this. But then what do you do with what you have? You see, eh? And then you realize that it's easy to stand and say, ah, he shouldn't have done that. He should have done this. He should have done this. Because you're not there. And you don't understand the pressures there. And you can only understand them when you sit there. You sit in that seat. There is no preparation for it. You will go, aspire. And I'm not even talking just about the seat of president. I mean, I'm talking about any seat. In any leadership position. Or in anything. You aspire. And then you are in a place. And then you expect that you are just going to naturally do the right thing. You're not. Amen? Unless there is a prior strong determination that I am going to do this regardless of the price. Whatever the price, I am determined to do this. And there is always a price to do the right thing. You know that. You think, why do people cave into that agenda? Because there is a price for not caving into it. And there is an apparent ease with just going with the flow. Just go with the flow. I mean, this is, just go with the flow. Glory to God. But we are of the spirit of Daniel, who says, no, I'm not going to go with the flow. I'm going to be different. Amen? And they determine that they are going to be what? Different. And now, everything after that is legacy is built from a place of determined purpose. When you see somebody has created a legacy of being something, and it's a legacy that stands, you just know before they ever got into that place, there was a determination that this is who I'm going to be, and this is what I'm going to be known as. And that's what the Lord was trying to tell me, that there has to be a serious, concretized purpose, set purpose, that I'm not going to be this. Otherwise, the gravity is there, and the going with the flow is there. You see, eh? And you go with the flow, and it's so much easier. I mean, painless. Just go with the flow. Praise the Lord. You go to 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14. And listen to what it says. And he did evil because he was a very evil person. Praise the Lord. Is that what it says? He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, people don't do evil because they are evil. They do evil because they don't prepare that when I get there, I'm going to be different. I'm going to treat people with respect. I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be corrupt. Like, you set your heart to seek the Lord. And now it says, it even puts because. Now you would think that he did evil because he's an evil person. I mean, you do evil because you're evil, right? No. According to the scripture, because he did not set his heart, put in a certain place, that I am going to seek the Lord. So you think, in your pursuit, now there's a reason why the Lord was telling me this, because some of you people are going to step in places where the Lord is going to count on your determination, like Daniel. Okay? He's going to count on you to be like Daniel, where you set it in your heart that I am a captive of Judah. I have been taken from Judah as a teenager, a young boy. About, I think, 13 or 14 he was when he was taken from Jerusalem by the Chaldeans. And then he says, I am not going to be like them. And actually he says, Daniel purposed in his heart. Where does it? But Daniel purposed in his heart. Now that is the thing. Purposed in his heart. That is the beginning of everything. Somebody purposing in his heart that I'm not going to be like this. Because if you don't, imagine you are in the biggest kingdom. Actually the biggest kingdom that has ever been. Ever. The kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And you're just a young teenage boy who is even a captive. The kingdom to which you belonged was overrun by the king. And then you come in this massive thing. You're even privileged to be chosen among the intelligent people. The rest of your brethren were killed. You know what happened to the others? They were killed. But for you, they choose you because you're bright. And then you come and you decide that the purpose in your heart. Now, by the way, here is the fulcrum of anything. Because some people sit at the side and say, ah, this is who I would be. Who told you? You can be that, by the way, if you really want to be it. And it comes at a price. And the price is your purpose in your heart. Okay? And now I'll tell you this, that the minute you do that, the Lord is going to put you in, like when you determine that I am going to this, there is a reason, there is a purpose, and now I am going to be like this. There is an agenda of the kingdom, and I'm going to pursue that agenda, regardless of what appears to be consequences or so many other things. Then suddenly the forces that be start putting you there, because that's what it's going to take for you to actually be in a place where you can make a big difference. You have to purpose in your heart that you are going to be different. And then after that comes the price you have to pay for doing that. Think about the price that Daniel had to pay for this. Every time there is some sort of danger, you know, and there is a fear, you're going to lose your position. You're going to lose your life. You're going to do this. Yeah, you might die. You might do this. Until you've come to the point where none of these things scare you, you actually are not that useful to the kingdom. Now, if you really, really want to be useful to the kingdom, and the man, you want to be great, you just decide that you are going to purpose to do the agenda of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now, that is what sets people apart. Praise the Lord. Daniel purposed in his heart that he is not going to be like the rest. Praise the Lord. I want you to say that Kableta, put your name there, purposed in his heart that this is who I am going to be. Everything, every positive thing comes with this. Nobody just walks accidentally into a legacy. No, nobody. Like, there is a work that is put inside, into it. Regardless of what the legacy is, even the negative ones, people purpose to be evil. Okay? Now, the other king, scripture says he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Now, there are others who say, it said he set his heart out to seek the Lord. Now, like when it's talking about Josiah, who became king when he was 8 years. And it said he set his heart to seek the Lord at 8 years. Then the first thing he did, a king at 8 years, is he called the people and was started inquiring of them about the Lord, about how, you know, to serve the Lord. By the time he was 16 and now had acquired some strength, now he started doing his implementation of the things he had said. And then it said he set his heart to seek the Lord like his father David. And he said he did not move left or right. He stayed there. And that was him. And he was determined. And he did everything. And everything that, you know, he actually did it so well that God had to postpone the judgment. Because when he became king, the judgment on Jerusalem was due. But because he did that, the Lord told the prophet that, go and tell him, because he has done that, I have to postpone it because I can't bring it in his lifetime. So let him first finish his life and he'll die and be buried, you know, at a good age. Then afterwards the judgment can come. God said that, but I cannot change because the iniquity had already come too much. But now what Josiah did is just put God on hold until after he died. As soon as he died, I think even his son ruled for three months. And then, Nebuchadnezzar swept in. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, when you have set a purpose, don't think it's not going to come under attack. And now the thing is, the biggest attack are not the ones which you can identify and fight immediately. Actually, the biggest ones come in a subtle way. And that's what people do not understand. In a very, very subtle way, come in the form of influences from people who apparently are your friends. Go to Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. He says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel. Now, captives, descendants of captivity. People are used to you being a captive. You're not supposed to have a say. Some of you know a lot about captivity. You're not supposed to have a say in the way things are, you know? This is how you're supposed to do things. Things are supposed to move like this. But do you know they resurrected the religious policy? Did you see that? They have resurrected it that now they want to, you know, they want to streamline. And they're using some words there. But you see, they're taking us to North Korea. That's the purpose. The purpose is eventually in Daniel chapter 6 that if anybody petitions any other god apart from you, Omuhozi, Omuseveni, maybe it be thrown in what? I don't know. And you see even the words they are using, supreme leader. You've heard that? Eh? But that's usually the final step before judgment. Eh? The very, very final step before judgment. When I'm telling you celebrate, you know that the celebration is here. You see, there are certain things which people do. You know, let me tell you, they are intelligent people. There was a man called Muammar Gaddafi. Very powerful. What? Then people called him the King of Kings. Now, let me tell you, there are always people who will want to kusudia. You know what kusudia is? Hey, those who don't understand Greek, kusudia is what? Is sudiing. So they come and give you fake praise. Oh, man, you are all that, man, you are all this. And you know, do you know how many people have been overflown by flattery? So many people overflown. They don't know it. They have been... So, they call him King of Kings. Now, there are certain things you don't enter, you don't get into. Eh? You remember Herod? When the people came and said, the voice of a god and not of a man. Now, when people say that, the next thing that judgment is waiting for is for the person they are saying it about to receive. If somebody comes and says, ah, God, you say, ah, no, I'm not. Then it cannot happen to you. Because, but the minute you receive, that, oh, the voice of a God and not of a man. Then you also sit there and be a God. And then it says immediately, God sent an angel and he struck him and he started rotting from inside. And now the more you glorify yourself, the more undignified your death is. Because God has to show you as just nothing. You see, eh? And now that attracts top judgment. And that's not even God. Eh? Actually, the devil who kusudias you is the one actually who comes and judges you. Eh? Because people come and say, oh man, what you are coming, eh? You're all that. Now I remember in Kenya one time, and I said, this man is wise. Because, you know, that time also they had a dictatorship like that was almost like ours here. Yeah? Fake elections and all that. There was a choir which used to be there singing for who? For Moi. Then somebody said, you're the Prince of Peace. The man stood up and said, shut up! I am not the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now there he averts judgment. If he receives it, somebody tells you that and you receive it, I'm telling you the short-term judgment. And it comes so fast. Now, when you see people being stupid, refuse to receive it. Say, no, I'm not that. That is God. Now, but if you went and received what? King of Kings. Then he ends up in a bunker. Like, and you die a very undignified. Now, this is somebody who had billions, what? Then you are hiding in a bunker. Then they find you there and they touch in your face. And you're like, forgive me. Like, and it's all set. And something, a certain cover has been removed. And now this, you wait, you'll see. Because there's a limit to what God can tolerate when people are tampering with his church. Okay? And there are things which people do, and I know that now they have set in motion the wheels of judgment. And it's all set there. Now, if that Moya had accepted that he's a Prince of Peace, he wouldn't have lived and died at 90-something. The man finished his presidency, lived and died old, very old. I think he was 90, what, like 3? Finished his life. But he was sharper. He knows there are certain areas you don't enter. King of King, Prince of Peace, who do you think you are? Somebody says he's the Prince of Peace, and you also come and say the Prince of Peace. Now, the enemy says, yeah, okay. Now, then he comes. Anyhow, praise the Lord. They came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, let us build with you. Imagine, these people knew you as slaves, as captives. But now, because of the favor of the king, King Cyrus, you know the story of Cyrus, favors them and says, all of you now go to Jerusalem, all the people, they go to Jerusalem and build a house to the Lord God. After he had seen a vision, and actually after Daniel had spoken to him, then he says, okay, all of you, and Daniel had showed him the prophecy which spoke about him by name, which had come from about 200 years ago, the prophecy of Isaiah 45. So Cyrus was mesmerized, and so he said, go and build a temple to your God in Jerusalem and pray for me that I may prosper. And guess what? The man ruled for 45 years. Like, and prospered and was very rich. And then he told those people, go and build your temple. And he told them, I'm giving you all the gold which was taken by Nebuchadnezzar from the temple of Solomon. He gave it back to them. Go and rebuild the temple. Now, you come into this place and you're a part of a province of the kingdom of Persia. And people knew you as captives. But now you come with a new favor, something different. And then you come and start building. And they cannot do anything about it because the king has said, give these people. Actually, the king went so far as to say, all the taxes that you people would have given, give them straight to the builders who are building the temple. Don't even bring them to the treasury in the kingdom. Give those people so that they build their what? So now these people are supposed, now they are messed up because the perception they had of you has changed. Now they are supposed to bring taxes to you. That the king said, we bring you taxes so that you build a temple. And now they are humiliated. But now you see how they come and, you know, they came and said, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. Now, you know, when you're building your temple, as you are going to, you should be very, very, by your temple, I mean, you know what I mean, eh? There will be people who want to come and say, let us do this together. Have you seen those people? You go and tell people you're starting a business or something that you feel, you know, the Lord is leading you to do. And you see how they will say, I've always wanted to start that way. Let's start it together. And because, of course, usually when people are starting up, they're a bit shaky. They're unsure about themselves. Usually you want some safety numbers. So you say, yeah, yeah, we start together. Now those people are going to mess you up. Eh? But now you see Zerubbabel here understood that these guys, they don't wish us good. He knew it. And now the one place that you don't want people who don't wish you good is trying to work with you. And I know that. I've even seen that with, you know, in these other things we do. Somebody comes and joins with you and says, I saw that in the campaigns. The people who hate you come and say, yeah, you know, eh? And then they join you. And then it's easier to mess you up from inside. So they come inside. And the one tactic they have, which they employ so well, and I'm telling you this because you're going to encounter these people, is they come, commit themselves to doing certain things, and they appear to be very helpful until when there is one important thing they are supposed to do, then they will not do it. And then you count on them. Okay, I'll give you a simple example. Imagine you have a wedding, you're organizing a wedding, your wedding. Then somebody comes, let's say Roger comes and says, I'm going to be in charge of venue, and in charge of drinks, and in charge of music. See? Yes. Then you say, sure, yeah, I'm going to be. Then even shows you that he's going to be in charge of that. But the purpose is to mess up your wedding. Then you eventually let him, no, somebody is in charge of that. Who is handling this? Roger is in charge. Roger is in charge. Then at the crucial moment, Roger just switches off his phone. Then your wedding is a mess. And people do, okay, I gave a simple example because some of you are not relating with the big things we are talking about yet. But you're going to relate with them at some stage. There's a reason why the Lord was telling me these things and so on. So let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him. Now, these are people who have been fighting you. But now when they can no longer fight you, now they are with you. And now that is the biggest temptation. And people don't realize it. It is so much easier to fight somebody who you know is your adversary. He's there and you're here. Because the battle lines are drawn and everybody is in their box. But now when that person comes and says, you know, I've allowed, you are the one. Now so many people fall for that. And even the devil uses what? That tactic. Somebody said that he came and told him that, hey, so you think me and Jesus are actually enemies? No. We just wanted to see who is going to choose which side. So we had to play good cop, bad cop. But at the end of the day, we'll agree. And what? Everything will be ironed out. Now, it's easier to fight the devil when you use the devil. You see, eh? But now he comes with, and that's very deceptive, by the way. Then he comes and says, no. So you think, no, me, I'm okay. Jesus just wanted to see those who love him and those who don't. So he sent me to go and what? To play devil. Now you think that's easy, but it's not. Because you see, when it comes from the devil, it comes with a deceptive ability. So you can start softening your heart, eh? Towards certain things. And you end up in deception. And I've seen people say things like that. And they say, the devil is so weak. You can even go and use what? Do you know what happened to Solomon? When Solomon started getting married to foreign women, they taught him how to use demons to accomplish certain things. And he would send demons to go and accomplish certain things, to go and do things ABC. And they would go and accomplish those things for him. You know, his wives from those different kingdoms had taught him that. And now, that is the biggest deception of the devil. He makes it look like you are using him. But flesh has never used spirit. You understand? Flesh can never use spirit. Spirit always uses what? Flesh. You see, even when you come to God, when you are young, you can tell him, God, I want this. If I want this, if you don't give me this, I'm going to leave Burokore. Then guess what you'll do? He'll give it to you because you're a baby. Eh? And he will tolerate that for a while. And because, of course, like a father, you tolerate. Then you start coming up with. But when you mature, you realize that no. You don't draw out your plans and God comes and works on them. You have to follow his plans. Your plans have to be put aside and then you pursue whose? His plans. And actually, that's where you get liberation. You realize that his plans, even for you, are much better than your plans for yourself. Amen? I wish you knew what plans I had for myself. And how much I thank God every day that I threw them away. You know, Because you think that, man, then they say that, you know, the will of God. And say, okay, God, but also me have a will. I want this, I want this, I want this. But now he's saying, I tolerated that when you were a baby, but now you're no longer what? A baby. Now you have to understand that I use you, don't use me. Amen? And now, when you surrender to that, that's where you get freedom. And then you realize that his plans were all along better than anything you could have thought about for yourself. Anyway, so they say, come and let us do this, you know? Because we have sought your God, just like you. Go to verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Joshua, and everybody in the Watchman Fellowship, and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel, said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God. But we alone will build to the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. We do not need your help. We do not need your help. Because we do not trust that you're with us. Now it comes to a time where actually you have to tell people straight up like that. I don't believe you're with me, so I do not need your help. I am going to do this myself. That I'm starting a business, doing this. And some say, hey, can I have all along had that idea? He said, shut up. If you've had the idea, go and do it. I do not need you. I am going to start this by what? By myself. And some of those people are not even consciously being used by the devil. They are just all over the place. You know, people are all over the place. Eh? There is nothing they have that is unique to them. They want to jump on anything. You come and tell them, I'm starting this. They say, yes, yeah. Now, this is how we are going to do it. Now, suddenly, it has become we. One sentence ago, it was you. Now, it is we. This is how we are going to do it. Now, we do this. Now, you don't know that this is it. You've fallen for this. Then, now, you're together. Now, we do this. But just as easy as he jumped on yours, he's going to jump out of it. And you're going to end up alone. So, you'd rather know from the beginning that you're alone. Praise the Lord. And by the way, and even starting businesses, so even or projects or things like that, building your temple, people fear doing things alone. People are scared doing things alone. And I'll tell you this. You have to go through that fear. Everybody looks for what to hold on to. Let me do this. What if I what? You know, somebody came and told me they are starting a very big project. Okay? Okay, they didn't tell me a big project, but for me, I saw it was big. Okay? The person said, I want to put you as one of the what? Shareholders. I said, no, don't put me. You're just looking for something to hold on to. But in any case, if you put me, you're going to get enemies whom you don't know. You understand? Hey, me, I have my baggage. So some people want to be stupid. Why do you want to put my name on your business? Do you know the things that you can attract when my name is there? But me, I attract those things because I have the grace to attract them. Eh? And they cannot stop me from doing anything I want to do. You see, but so I told her that, no, it's okay. You do your thing. Don't put me anywhere. First of all, I knew you're looking for something to hold on to. Because always when you have a big project, there is a fear. What if it doesn't work out? What if it does? And now that is natural. I have known people who have had big things prophesied to them, real prophesied to them. But because of fear of failure, they never set off. And now by the grace of God, one day you get over your fear of failure. Because after all, I mean, have you been successful in everything you've done so far? So you just get over your fear of failure and saying, let me do this alone. Now, when the devil cannot stop you from doing it, okay? There are two things. The first one, he will bring you somebody who is going to provide for you that person to lean on. Okay, you put me as a what? As a shareholder. Now, that gives you comfort. But it's not the right thing to do. Because it's your dream. What am I doing in your dream? Praise the Lord. It's your temple. Glory to God. What am I doing building your temple? You are supposed to build your temple yourself. So they said, no. But we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded. Number two. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them again. These are the same people who are saying, we have sought your God. When you chase them away. And now this is always happens. These people come and join you. Let me tell you something. Some time ago, I was working as a sports journalist. And I was like renowned for that and being and so on. And the Lord gave me an idea. And by the way, it was from the Lord. And he told me that you can start a sports newspaper. Because there is a lot of sports that is happening. And the current newspapers cover just a little. And that time there was, I don't know if it's still the case now, maybe I've just grown up. There was a lot of people who would look for, you know, knowledge on sports everywhere. You see? So I got the idea. So I said, I'm going to do it. I was actually so determined to do it that I was ready to resign my job and do it. And I went out, you know, said to do it. Then I did what all people usually do. There was some guy who came, he was a Muzungu. He was an Irish guy. So I used to know him. He was, you know, some, you know, the lousy people. You know, these Bazungu who come here doing nothing. Eh? Very lousy. That's why they call them bums. Eh? Not bums like bums, but, you know, people who are experts are doing nothing. Eh? But somehow they float through life. You've seen people like that. Eh? Even in Uganda, they are there. But that's what they call them in America, eh? Bums. Eh? But they float through life by doing nothing. So I meet the guy. The guy tells me that, you know, he came here. He wakes up in the morning, gets a bottle of beer and a cigarette. Like, his life was just like that. Eh? Like that. And the only thing he actually did was sports betting. But somehow, because he was good at talking, so we had a sports program together. So he would come and we talk. So somehow we became acquaintances. So he tells me one day that he wants to start. He said, but people in Uganda are very religious. Maybe I should start a religious newspaper. I told him, no, that won't work. But I want to start a sports newspaper. He said, yeah, actually, we should start a sports newspaper. Now, I'm telling you, within a matter of a few months, he was the one who was employing me in the sports newspaper. Like, he took control. And you see, sometimes Bazungu have a sense of superiority, even the useless ones. Eh? Somehow they are, even actually the most useless ones, eh? They are very useless ones. But they have this sense of superiority. And because they move around and they find people who, like, think of them as all that because of their skin color. Eh? But now, of course, for me, I'm not like that. Eh? Like, I mean, I've seen, like, I look at people and gauge him and realize this is just a floater. You know, people are floating through life. Eh? They're just floating, you know. Eh? Now, never be like that. Praise the Lord. Never be like that. And now for me, who is a purpose person, eh? When I see a floater, I despise them. Eh? Like I say, hey, how can you waste your life like that? So today you're, you know, floating here from one beer to the next one, and life goes. Anyhow, so this guy comes and says, no, we start with that. So me, I say, okay, of course, I was a bit scared. I'm leaving my job, which was paying my car rent at work, and going into something. And so now somebody comes offering you a helping hand. So you feel that there's a bit of security in what? Okay, with somebody. So at least we share the what? The risks. I was telling the guy, we do this. He says, no, we do this. Then he would say, now, I would go and bring people to come and who were going to help us. Within a short time, he has turned them all against me and said that, you know, this is his idea. I'm just a what? So he basically just messed me up thoroughly. Now, this is it. Let us build with you. Because we also wanted to, I've always wanted to start a sports newspaper, but he had never thought about it until you said it. You're talking about a religious newspaper. Anyhow, to cut a long story short, I chartered the idea. And the time for it passed. Because it was a given time when I was supposed to do it. The time for it passed. Those are some of the things I look back and regret. Every time I look back, I realize that I made a big error by letting that guy in. Because eventually he started it with some other people. All the people he started it with, I brought them myself. Because they were coming because of me. They didn't know him, they knew me. But as soon as I would bring them, he somehow messes them up against me. No, he's fake, he's what? So I said, okay, you go ahead. He started the thing. But then it messed him up, because he ended up taking debts and ended up being in debt, and he could no longer float in Uganda. So he went, and the last time I knew he was floating in Kenya. He ran away without paying people their what? Their money. You know floaters, eh? They are people like, just they sail through life. Okay, I don't know if they are going to guru, but anyhow. By the way, let me tell you, I regretted ever saying that to somebody. And I've encountered so many. Do you know how many churches would have been great, but the person who God was sending to start it was scared to start alone? So it's a co-pastor. Where do you ever hear co-pastor? Amen? Anytime you hear co-pastor, no katonda tachirim. God deals with one person. You imagine? You know, when Moses had an inferiority complex and said, I cannot talk, send Aaron. You could see he felt Aaron was more talented. And Aaron was his older brother, 3 years older than him. And God is saying, I'm sending you. And Moses is a bit like everybody else. Let me tell you, there is nobody who God sends and there is no sense of fear. Everybody has it. So he's saying that, why don't you send Aaron? Aaron is better. He can talk better than me. What? So God makes it very clear that you are going to be like God and Aaron is like your prophet. In other words, hierarchy is very important. Like, there is no mistake. They are not called. You are the boss. The other one is what? Your subordinate. Clear. That's how God works. Imagine there is a co-watchman. Like, there is nothing. The only thing that has two heads is a monster. Otherwise, everything has to have one head. Once you get somebody and start saying, we do it together, you have messed yourself up. Business, church, whatever. Never. If you're going to, like, God, one order. Now you see, everything that happens here happens according to my word. I'm talking about the organization of this ministry. Okay? So if God wants to do something, he knows whom to talk to. Praise the Lord. That's how those Americans mess up their churches, where they have a board which decides. So God, the Holy Spirit is supposed to go and start talking to a board. There are certain things which, and you see in the world, it looks like it's nice. Then the pastor is, you know, yeah, you see, he cannot make decisions alone. Who told you? Praise the Lord. Now churches start. I've seen them in all the years I've been in churches. Where, haven't you seen churches? You started with a co-pastor. What happened to them? Not a single one of them stands. Not one. I dare you to give me one which stands. There's one I used to belong to. The guy who had the land where the church was built was working somewhere. But he liked ministry. You know these guys who are working, but they like ministry. So one day he decided he's tired of what? Of working. So he's entering full-time ministry. But there was a pastor in the church who people acknowledged as the pastor. So the guy comes who has built the church and the Mogaga and says he wants to be a co-pastor. That arrangement lasted a very short time. And that's always what happens. Now I'm telling you this because if you're building your temple, build it alone. Don't worry. If it fails, it's okay. But never be tempted to have somebody to hold on to. Like you are setting yourself up for disappointment. Because to reach some place where it is supposed to be powerful. And it feels, let me tell you this story. There's a friend of mine who had an idea to start a business. And he's into tourism and so on. And that is his passion. You know, passion. That's what he has done. That's what he has done. He used to be a tour guide. What? So he says he wants to start his business. But like everybody else, he's scared. So he goes and gets some guy who is a corporate guy and tells him, you know, I have an idea. If we start this business, we can make money. Then the guy is like, yeah, okay. So they do a company and they have equal shares. Now, after 2 years, the other guy is on his own things. This guy is the one running the whole business. And now it has become worth a lot of money. But the other guy has done nothing. Then this guy realizes that he messed himself up. He didn't need the other person. But now God was kind to him. Because the other guy, the corporate guy, somehow gets an idea that he wants to go and study masters abroad. So he comes and tells this guy that, just give me $10,000 and I will sell my shares to you. Now he didn't know what the prospect for the business was. So in his mind, $10,000, he's going to start a master's in America. That money in his pocket, yeah, that's good. Life will be good. So this guy was very fast to say, okay. He looked for the $10,000. He actually had it. Then this guy signed away his 50% shares and then went to America. He came back after 2 years with his master's and this guy's company were banking $1 million every year. Where they were worth about $1 million. It's actually even much more. It's like $5 million right now. But God just helped him. Imagine this guy says, no, give me half. Yet he has not contributed a single thing. And the only reason you asked him to join you is because you were scared. Praise the Lord. Now, in your prospect, as you're building your temple, and that is his temple, which he built. Amen? Now, as you're building your temple, don't accept these people who come out. I've given you those examples just to show you, because I know you're going to be called in by the Lord to do great things, eh? And he's pushing you to do something which seems to be bigger than you. And you're scared. But just do. Go. Go and do it scared. God is with, like, just go and do it scared. You'd rather fail alone than have an excuse. That because every time I look back at my newspaper, it's a color I would have had. I would be having a big sports newspaper right now. But anyway, I have other things. Okay. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building. I'll end with this verse. And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Now, people don't understand that. All this, what's happening here, is the devil. You know that, yeah? The devil working through these people. You don't know that the devil hires counselors who come and give you magezi, which is straight from the bowels of hell, to take you from your purpose. Somebody comes and says, yes, what are you doing? Now, do you know that they're hiring counselors? You think that's a small thing. But here, these people have been failed, tried to frustrate. They said they hired counselors to come. So somebody comes and says, huh? There's a guy who was supposed to be like a big, big person here in ministry. But somebody came and told him that you're so anointed, you should go and start this church of yours in London. Remember those days when Ugandans were London, London? Like, you remember those days? Eh? Like everything was London, London. Man, Africans can also be weird, man. Eh? Because I remember I went to Cameroon and Senegal. And the way Ugandans are so London, all the way Paris, 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 man, colonialism. Eh? All of them are, you know, we're in Paris, we're in Paris, over here, hey, a Paris, a Paris, and so on. So anyhow, this guy, people came and told him, And it was the one who actually, the first guy I saw who was actually moving in the prophetic. And it was like some semi-good, not what you're used to, but something there, eh? You understand? Katandiki wako, you see? Eh? That was before even the church knew anything about prophetic. Eh? But this was somebody who actually had a real prophetic ministry here. His church was in Sheraton, Renzori Ballroom. He was doing, then somebody came and told him, London, he is dead, half past dead in terms of ministry. Half past dead. The devil hired the counselors. Do you know that guy would be big now? Every time I remember him, I realize this guy would have been big here because he was moving at a supersonic speed. But sometimes all the devil needs to do to topple you is just one wrong advice. Just one wrong counselor. And hired, imagine, like, you think about this. Where people actually sit down and call people and say, we are going to give you money. Just go and mess those guys up with counsel. Think about that. Hiring counselors to frustrate your purpose. Now you come with a purpose. We are going to build this temple. We have the blessing of the emperor, Cyrus. We are going to build this temple. We are determined. They come and try to join you. You say, no, we don't want. They come and try this. You say, no. So they find you steady. Then they say, okay, now we know where to pass. Counselors. Praise the Lord. Do you know kingdoms, even in the Bible, were toppled through wrong counsel? What should we do? Then the Bible says actually that sometimes God, when he wanted to topple the kingdom, would move and mess up the counselors. And they tell the king that, I think this is what we should do. And those kings sought counsel. And by the way, it's very important. What? Seek counsel. Those people sought counsel. So God comes and messes up the counselors. But here, in this case, the devil messes up the counselors. Now, I'm telling you, there are marriages which have failed because the devil hired the counselors. Eh? H-H-Sajja. What? Eh? Counselors. I'm telling you, and marriages failed because the devil has hired counselors, and you don't know. And that, let me tell you, and I've seen so many such, eh? Like, where somebody seems, okay, there is no perfect Musajja. But when you look and say, okay, that was like, looked like a good man. But the devil goes for what? Yeah. And some women come and surround, hired by the devil, surround the woman and start giving counsel. What did he say? Sure. What? You know what I'm talking about. Eh? Some of you have experienced it. Like, and now it fails. Ministers have failed because somebody, the assistant pastor. The devil comes and hires a counselor. Say that all those people are there because of you. You think they like the pastor? If you leave that ministry, all of them are going to follow you. And by the way, do you think, let me say, all the time, there are people who tell people that. If they find you and you're not steady, the next thing, I've gone to start my ministry. And then the enemy has achieved his purpose. Because there will be some fools who follow you. There's always fools. Praise the Lord. Allow the devil knows how to. Now, I want to tell you something, that all the time as you build your temple, know that the enemy. Now, I'll give you an example. Even these things which I do in politics. Do you know how many counselors come and he tells you something and you say, this one is from the devil? Like, and that's how they come. And by the one small counsel, one small thing can topple everything. And you mess yourself up because you listen to one wrong counselor. Somebody comes and says, ha, Omanya, I've been in these things. I know what you're supposed to do. Then you say what? Then he presents his case. And usually when they're hired by the devil, they are convincing. That's where you need discernment. So then he says, no, you should not do this. I saw you doing this. And no. That's not how they do it. This is how you should do it. Kwata wano, katikola chino, kati omanya abantu che baagala. Counselors, praise the Lord. I hope I'm communicating something here. Because lives are destroyed because of wrong counsel. And good things are destroyed because of wrong counsel. But I'm coming to an end here. So every purpose has to withstand wrong counsel. And the counselors will be there. They hire the counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. So you come with a purpose. As I told you at the beginning, you purpose to do something. Then the counselors arrive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to celebrate? Are you ready to build your temple? Praise the Lord.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amar The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.